This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Well, we have finally arrived at the postseason, haven't we? Yes, we have. Game one tonight, Yankees and the Cleveland Indians in the best of three wild card series in this bizarre 2020 season. It is Savages in the Box for this Tuesday, September the 29th, and it is your playoff preview. The Yankees and the Indians, and look, there are a lot of things to be concerned about here from a Yankee standpoint. But there are also a lot of things to feel good about. And this is issue number one. The mentality, the confidence. Down the stretch of this season, we all know what happened. And we understand how streaky the Yankees were. But none of that at this point truly matters. What matters at this point is doing some damage early in this series against the Cleveland Indians for a few reasons. Number one, you need to let the Indians know right away that you're going to be able to hit good pitching. Number two, you need to let yourselves know right away that you're going to be able to hit good pitching. This is more about the Yankees and their psyche than it is about the Indians. Shane Bieber has been absolutely phenomenal this season, and we'll get to more of that in just a moment. He should be the Cy Young winner in the American League. But I think we can all agree that when we look back at the Yankees and their failures in the postseason, many times, not all times, but many times in recent years, when they haven't been able to hit good pitching, it has been as much about the good pitching as it has also been about their own mentality of not believing they could hit the good pitching. You know, getting knocked down and then not being able to get back up. It is the old bully mentality, right? If you're able to punch a bully in the mouth and deliver that blow, a lot of times they don't get back up. And the Yankee offense, many times over the last several years, has been a bully mentality offense around hitting a ton of home runs, similar to what it is this year. That's why the confidence factor is going to be so important for them. And the manager, as you would expect, is saying all the right things in regards to that.
We're a group that's, even in the worst of times, have never lost confidence and never lost that expectation. And I think not just as a group, but to a man. We know what we're capable of. We just got to go out and do it.
Yeah, that's a big if or but, if you will. They need to go out and do it to get themselves right mentally. He can say all he wants about no matter what's happened. Truth of the matter is this. When the Yankees have been going poorly, they have not been able to get out of their own way, and we all know it. And they know it. So while down the stretch of the season they didn't play particularly well, it's going to be a much bigger blow if it feels like early, well, we're just not going to be able to hit a guy like Shane Bieber. And we're just not going to be able to hit really good pitching like Carlos Carrasco or Plesac. Yeah. If that even sinks in a little bit, they could have some big problems. I honestly don't think it will. Because I think this year the Yankees have two guys who led Major League Baseball in hitting and home runs that have been so consistent that they have been able to steady the ship, so to speak, in some pretty important times for them. DJ LeMahieu, we all know how great he is. Phenomenal player and so consistent. And the guy that they have been able to rely on more than anybody else the last 2 years. He has been everything that they have hoped for and more. And LeMahieu's consistency will help them carry the day. It did a little bit last year, but it wasn't enough by itself. And the other guy that has been consistent has been Luke Voit. Now, earlier in the year, when they lost 15 out of 20, Luke Voit was still hitting. And he's still been hitting lately. And it hasn't gone away. And I think that's a big deal. Nobody really was capable of knowing what Voit was, how good he was, frankly, when they were losing all those games. They just thought, hey, he's out there. He's hitting home runs. That's great. That's fine. They didn't know that he could be this consistent of a player. And I think those two guys, the way they have been able to maintain their level of play all season long, that helps to deliver a message. So I think if you have those two guys early in this series in game one, able to do some damage against Bieber, I think it might go a long way to help those other guys out. I mean, think about this for a second. If you somehow got a leadoff home run from DJ LeMahieu, how far would that go for the Yankees? I think it would go immensely far for their confidence. Immensely far. Okay, the Indians as a whole. Well, this year, they went through their drama, as we know, with Clevinger and Plesac and the whole going out to dinner on the road thing that caused them major problems with COVID. Even though they were not out partying, they were out with friends. They still were not honest about what's going on. Plesac obviously caught a lot of heat from his teammates, too, when he put out his little video that he shot in the car. And it was something that alienated that locker room, the factions of that locker room, for a while. Then obviously Clevinger was traded to the Padres, and Plesac is back now. And they have survived that. That was a pretty bumpy road for the Indians to get through. So they have had some mental challenges this year to fight through themselves. They finished the year 35-25, and the Indians, over their last 10 games, won 8 out of 10. So they're coming in on a pretty good high right now. And where they excel, certainly not hard to figure out.
The strength of their starting pitching is, I think, much talked about, understandably so. They're deep, obviously have some great star-type players. Ramirez is having kind of an MVP season, so it's going to be challenging, but this is the postseason, and we can't wait to get there.
Ramirez being Jose Ramirez, who had 17 homers and 45 runs batted in this season, hit .292 with a .993 OPS. Pretty darn impressive. And since September the 11th, how about this? Hitting .373, 17 extra base hits, 8 home runs, and 20 runs batted in 16 games. So yes, he comes in red hot. That's the bad news. Good news is they're not hitting great as a team. They finished 26th in Major League Baseball in runs scored this season. So they're going to pitch, but they're not necessarily going to hit. And that includes Francisco Lindor, who is just 6 for his last 43, 139, no homers, 2 doubles, 3 runs batted in. All of that since September the 16th. Carlos Santana only hit .199 this season. He still gets on base a ton, but there really hasn't been anybody else with the Indians that has had a big-time year offensively. And as a result, they find themselves relying heavily on their pitching. Their starting staff, we told you about. Shane Bieber, fantastic year. Cy Young, 8-1, 1.63 ERA, a .87 whip, and only 46 hits over 77 and a third. The Yankees have faced Bieber twice before. Once in 2018, where he went 7 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. He won that game. And then June 9th of 2019, where they gave him probably one of the worst outings of his career, if not the worst. An inning and 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs. All 5 of those runs came in the second inning. Pitched a 1-2-3 first before he went out and got hammered in that second inning and didn't make it out of the inning. So they've had their success against Bieber before, and it's in the not-too-distant past. Easy to be very impressed if you're Aaron Boone.
He's probably had the best year of any pitcher out there, obviously. I mean, it's been dominant. So you know you got your hands full. Command of secondary to go along with elite command and velocity with the fastball. And, you know, has really taken another step from what was an amazing year for him last year. So we also love that challenge. You love the opportunity to compete against the best. You know, we'll put together a game plan and hopefully go out and be able to ding him a little bit.
On the flip side, it's Gerrit Cole, and we know what he is here to do, and that is simply to pitch brilliantly in the postseason and help deliver a championship. This is why they signed him. You could make the argument that game one is a must win. It's obviously very crucial. For Cole, not trying to approach it any differently.
I've pitched in one game, one-offs, wild cards. This is a crazy year. This is a brand new format. It's a three-game series that we're going to have to win to get to the next game. I think starting the first game, whether it be a three-game series, a four-game series in May, April, June, July, October, whether it be a doubleheader in coronavirus baseball this year and you get the first game, the object is if you're taking the ball early, is to set the tone both for the pitching staff and for the team. So, I've been practicing that this year, and I'll just keep trying to get better at it.
Behind the plate for him will be Kyle Higashioka, and we had talked about this right around the middle of the season when you saw Higashioka catch him once or twice. They obviously had a very good rapport, and after the early part of the year when he was really fawning publicly over the job Gary Sanchez had done, that changed at some point as far as Cole's comfort level, and Sanchez will not be behind the plate for the Yankees tonight. So what exactly is it about Higashioka that makes it a good combination with Cole?
Probably because we're both from Southern California, and we have a lot of the same interests, and Kyle's easy to communicate, really creative thinker, and good pitch framer, good pitch caller, and so we worked out well together, and so that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. Okay, Forrest Gump. Here's what happened as he started talking about it. He realized how nicely he was talking about Higashioka and how that might be taken as talking poorly about Gary Sanchez. And look, that might be the case. You could understand it if people are going to take it that way. But let's also understand that when it comes down to it, Gary Sanchez hasn't done the job enough from an offensive standpoint for this to even be an argument. I know fans love him. No, nobody to blame for Gary Sanchez but himself right now, because it has been yet another disappointing run for the Yankee catcher. And defensively, if you have your ace who you paid $324 million to, more comfortable with this guy, you don't even think twice. As we taped the podcast, we did not have a Yankee lineup, or for that matter, a full playoff Yankee roster as of yet. So how that plays out in a three-game series will be very interesting to see. I'd be surprised if they did not keep the extra player as opposed to the extra pitcher in this series, just based on the fact that it is so short and you have Cole on the mound in game one. You would have to believe that you would get some length out of him, especially how well he has pitched down the stretch of the season. One real concern to look at here from an offensive standpoint is the fact that the Yankees are as right-handed as they are against these Indians right-handed pitchers who have been so tough against righties all season long. Is the fact that the Yankees have opted away from righty-lefty importance going to come back and bite them in this series? Because the mentality all along for the Yankees in the construction of the roster has been the best hitters, not necessarily the best lefty-righty matchups that they could get throughout. Aaron Hicks will be incredibly important in regards to that. It'll also be interesting to see if there is an off chance that Brett Gardner would actually play over Clint Frazier, especially tonight, because Gardner, in that game against Bieber last year, had a big home run in that second inning where they were able to knock him out. One thing the Indians will not do is beat themselves. They're a very sound defensive team, and we know that has been a problem for the Yankees, particularly at shortstop with Gleyber Torres. He cannot make any of those kind of mistakes in this series. The Yankees cannot beat themselves at all in this series against a team with such sound pitching and such sound defense. The Indians have a very good bullpen with the likes of Brad Hand doing the closing and also with James Karinchak, but I don't think this bullpen stands up to the Yankees. The one question I would have about the Yankee bullpen right now is the trust level in Adam Ottavino. I don't think anybody's leash is terribly long in a series like this, but I think especially that of Ottavino, who has been as up and down as he has been this season. One other little tidbit you may find interesting, Aaron Boone did not rule out James Paxton's availability should the Yankees go deep into the postseason. He clearly meant the World Series, but Paxton was at Yankee Stadium today throwing, and he did say there was a possibility he may be able to help them very late in this postseason. And so, as we have talked about, it is an outstanding matchup to kick off the postseason between Gerrit Cole and Shane Bieber. Game one tonight on ESPN and on ESPN Radio. We're carrying Yankee playoff games. And one programming note along those lines, right after the game, make sure you keep it right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. I will be along with a Yankee postgame. We'll have all of the press conferences, all of the reaction, and we will have all of the analysis as well, and your chance to chime in on the game will take you straight up until midnight, maybe even later. Who knows? But you want to make sure you're here for post games and, of course, for Savages in the Box tomorrow morning. That'll do it for me. Enjoy game one. Yankees and Tribe tonight.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.